Madam Chairman and friends, as you've just heard, our subject tonight is art and the spiritual life. That is to say, we're concerned on this occasion with art within the context of the higher evolution of man. Or we can also say that we're concerned with that higher evolution of man itself in terms, specifically, this evening, of art. And by art one means not just painting, not just the visual arts, one means all the fine arts whatsoever. We should also be considering the subject not just in terms of art, as it were in the abstract, not even the fine arts, but also, more concretely, in terms of the artist. Now, in order to make perhaps all this clear, let us just refer back to the two lectures which we've already had. That is to say, the lecture on evolution, lower and higher, and the lecture on the axial age and the emergence of the new man. There's no time for a detailed recapitulation of what was said on those two occasions, but it is important that we should see the subject matter of tonight's lecture in full and complete perspective and context. As by this time most of you will have gathered, we are concerned in this series, in this whole series, in all these lectures, with a subject of supreme, of far-reaching, of all-inclusive importance, that is to say, the higher evolution of man. And when we say man, we mean not some other being, some other entity, we mean, quite definitely, ourselves. Ourselves as living, as growing, as evolving beings. Beings capable, we may say, of an infinite development, a development that culminates, in Buddhist terms, only with our awakening to the one true mind. Now, in our first lecture, we saw that evolution in general, is the most important concept in the whole field of modern thought. It's a concept which enables us to understand the whole of existence, cosmic existence, as one gigantic process of development. A process of development from lower to higher levels of existence and of organization. And we tried in our first lecture to understand something at least of the nature of that development. Try to understand, try to penetrate into what evolution really and truly and essentially is. We examined the mechanistic and the vitalist views. We found both of them unsatisfactory, especially the former, and we saw that one could best think of evolution, of this gigantic process of development, in terms of a progressive manifestation in time of an absolute reality. An absolute reality, the presence of which, back of the evolutionary process, explains and can alone explain, alone account for the emergence in the course of that evolutionary process of new and ever new qualities. We saw, to use a poetic phrase, a poetic expression, that that reality back of the evolutionary process was like a great reservoir on which evolution, especially human evolution, increasingly and ever more abundantly draws. We went on then to distinguish between the lower evolution and the higher evolution. We saw, to begin with, that man himself was included in this great evolutionary process, and that we could study him in two different ways. In terms, first of all, of what he had developed out of, and this we saw was the lower evolution, dealt with by sciences such as physics, chemistry, biology, and also that we could study man in terms of what he will develop into in the future, what in fact he already is developing into here and now. And this, his future, his present evolution even, we saw, constitutes the higher evolution. And this is covered again by psychology, by philosophy, by religion in all its forms, and by the various fine arts. On our chart, which we worked out in some detail, on our chart we saw the lower evolution corresponds to the section 0 up to figure 2 on the hypotenuse of that triangle. Whereas the higher evolution corresponds to the section from 2 up to infinity. 0 point, we may say, represents the starting point of the entire evolutionary process. Point 1, we saw, represents the point at which consciousness, that it is a human consciousness, emerges. Point 2, the middle point, is the point at which self-consciousness or awareness emerges. And point 3, still higher up, is the point at which transcendental awareness emerges, i.e. awareness of reality. And the point at the top, the point of infinity, is of course the point of nirvana, or enlightenment, or Buddhahood in Buddhist terms. And these points we saw divide the whole evolutionary process from top to bottom into four great sections, or four great stages. A, representing the infrahuman, that is to say the mineral, the vegetable, and the animal kingdoms. B, representing the human, both primitive and civilized. C, what we called the ultra-human. And D, lastly, the transhuman, or even suprahuman. And in this way we saw, with the help of the chart, that the whole process of evolution was covered. And we could also see just where we ourselves stand. We saw that man, at the best we usually know him, stands in the middle, as it were, of this whole great evolutionary process, stands at the watershed dividing the lower from the higher evolution. In other words, stands at point 2. And most of us, we saw, we had to admit, rather regrettably, most of us are considerably below this point, point 2, and many, unfortunately, barely above point 1. And this gave rise, of course, to various reflections and considerations, chief of which was that humanity is something yet to be achieved.